your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Welcome to our show. I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I invite you to join us and our inspirational guests as we discuss stories of loss, hope, and recovery. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, whose mission it is to promote healing after loss, and by listeners like you. We also invite you to join our Open to Hope family by visiting our websites, blogs, and YouTube channel, where you'll find inspirational articles, poetry, and grieving tips to support you on your journey of hope, loss, and recovery. You won't be able to call in today as the show is pre-recorded. These shows are all archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites, and all shows can be downloaded on iTunes. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
We got some great guests today. We've got Eric Tomey, and we have John Asaroff, CEO and coach of One Coach. Anyway, Heidi, Father's Day is coming up, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Father's Day. But first of all, guess what? I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thanks, Mom.
That's a surprise, huh?
It is a surprise.
18 years ago. Right, 18 years ago. June 18th.
I'm 18, people.
Anyway, so happy birthday.
Thanks.
Well, we are also going to talk about Father's Day today because on Sunday will be Father's Day, and that's a bittersweet day for people, isn't it, Heidi?
It is. It brings up so many things about your dad and missing your dad and not having a dad, et cetera. It's a really hard day for people, and it also is hard for people that are fathers that have lost children, I think, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to talk about our sites a little bit before Eric Tomei comes on and we talk about Father's Day Without Father. I want to talk about the fact that we want to thank you all for your donations. As you know, we pay to do this show. We pay for all our sites, and so our donations really make it possible for us to continue to do the work that we're doing and that we're having such a great response to. We also wanted to make sure that you signed up for our newsletter. Sometimes we forget to say that, don't we, Hyde?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a great newsletter, and Heidi's youngest sister is actually editing it for us, Heather, and she does a wonderful job. And you can find out, if you're enjoying these shows, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will know what shows are going to be on for the next month ahead. So it's a great thing to sign up for.
Yeah, and it keeps you updated on you know, everything we're doing. It keeps you updated on all of our contributing authors that are in the news. We post monthly articles on there, so it's a great resource.
It really is. And again, we hope you're signing up and going on for our University of Utah study. We're still doing that. We're getting a great response to it, and it's going to be a really important study because it's the first study that has been done off the Internet, and we hope to do, University of Utah hopes to do other studies with the results of that study, so we're excited about it. Also, our YouTube site, that's really going well, isn't it, Heidi?
It is. We did 75 spots at ADAC, the ADAC conference, and we've edited a lot of them, and they're up on our site. Check in daily because, you know, we post new YouTubes every week.
Yeah, so go in and look at those. And again, to get there, you go to www.youtube.com/open to hope, or you can reach it through our Open to Hope sites. And also, Heidi, as Father's Day is coming up, we'll have a lot of wonderful articles on our main site, won't we? On the Open to Hope site.
We will. We'll have articles that are about Father's Day and dealing with the holidays, and we have new articles every single day.
And the nice thing about it is you can go on there and talk about your dad and make comments to the articles that are there, and we would love to hear your feedback and comments. Well, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Sure, I'd love to. Our first guest today is Eric Tomei, and our topic is Father's Day Without Father. Eric Tomei works as a physical therapist in the Metro Detroit area. Following the sudden death of his dad in 2006 of an undiagnosed heart condition, Eric was inspired to write a book about his loss called I Miss My Dad. Eric is the blog editor for the Open to Hope Foundation. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you. Welcome. I appreciate you both having me on, Gloria, Heidi, and Heidi, happy birthday.
Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome. Birthdays are always fun to celebrate.
Well, Eric, it's great to have you on the show today. I've enjoyed your book. I love the front of your book. It's got big, I miss my dad, and then it's a dad with a kid fishing. So tell our audience a little bit about what happened with your dad, and I know it was a sudden death, quite a shock from reading about it.
It was. It was quite a shock. In January of 2006, my dad died of an undiagnosed heart attack. Mm. He literally was getting ready for church and fell face first into the wall.
Wow.
We had no time to prepare. Our family was thrown into turmoil, and we were just all in such a state of shock on how a perfectly healthy individual could all of a sudden be gone from us. 1 hour he was here, 1 hour he was gone.
And Eric, he wasn't that old, was he?
No, he was 57. He was 6 feet tall. He was 170 pounds. He did not have any risk factors for heart disease at all. Didn't smoke, didn't drink, did not have diabetes or some of the other medical conditions that are common with that. He was just an unfortunate victim of undiagnosed heart disease.
Wow.
Wow. So, your mother was there in the room, and your sister tried to revive him. So you weren't there, right?
I was not there. I live about an hour away from my family, and, you know, we have a lot of medical people in the family. Unfortunately, none of the medical people were there that day, but nobody could have done anything about it. My mom and my sister are the real heroes in our family for the quick way that they acted that day. You know, my mom was on the phone with 911. My sister valiantly tried CPR with no avail, but they're the real heroes because, thank God, they were with my dad in his final moments.
Mm-hmm. You know, for our audience out there, that's got to resonate with a lot of them. That sudden death, they're there or they're not there. I mean, you can't win, can you? If you're not there, you wish you had been there. And if you're there, you keep having the memories of that horrific experience.
Absolutely, Heidi. I felt so guilt-ridden that I was not there that it's kind of hard to deal with. Then I thought to myself, well, let's put myself in, you know, my mom and my sister's shoes. They were there, and they mm-hmm. have to relive that every day. I don't know what's better or worse. I think it's important for everyone to find some form of closure from the situation, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm. And you're a physical therapist, so I would imagine that there's a lot of mental stuff with physical therapy, isn't there?
Absolutely. There's, you know, of course the job is obviously physical because you're taking care of people, but really there's a lot of psychological coaching, motivation. You really have to convince patients to buy into your plan to get them better, or otherwise if they don't have the confidence and the plan and the trust in the plan, they're not going to buy into what you're saying.
Yeah, so we'll want to get into some of those ideas to help motivate. But let me ask you, what did you think it was necessary to do after the death of your dad as far as your sister and your mom and yourself dealing with these aspects of being there, not being there? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do, actually. You know, when a key family member dies in your family, you really assume a totally different role in the family dynamic. So for me, I was really one of the few males that was left in my family, so I kind of took a more, I don't want to say a parental role, but taking care of the finances, taking care of, you know, some of the emotional needs for some of my family members who were grieving. And your dynamic in your family changes, and sometimes you don't even realize it. You just do stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily do. I mean, I still, to this day, call my mom 2 to 3 times a day just to make sure she's doing okay, just to make sure that her spirits are okay. It's always tough. You never, ever forget. You can only hope to move on.
Heidi, does that sound familiar about guys doing stuff?
Well, I was thinking, even with the 9/11 families I've been working with for 7 years, even the kids that were young often took a role where they were a little parentified and helped the mother out all of a sudden because the father was no longer in the house now. He had died. And they would fill in those kind of voids and do some of the roles that their dad used to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, no one can replace my dad, just like nobody can replace anybody in a family. Mm-hmm. But what you do is you just try to put yourself in the role and you say, okay, well, I'm in a situation now. How do we get out of it? How do we deal with the problem? What solutions can we bring to the table? And that's basically what I did with my family. I have very independent women in my family. They're all great. I love them all dearly. But sometimes, you know, some of the tough decisions, you know, it sometimes falls on one person. And I was readily available and happy to accept those as my responsibilities.
You know, that fits in with a little bit with guys, too, because Heidi and I have found that guys like to do, right, Heidi?
Absolutely. They like to be busy and they like to have they like to fix things, which can be hard after a loss. Sometimes you can't fix it, but they like to be active, actively involved in things.
Mm-hmm. So, Eric, what about Father's Day is coming up? Tell us what has happened for you. Now you've shown the competent side. What about that other soft side that guys have?
And, you know, guys do have a soft side. I will tell you that Father's Day for me is the toughest day of the year. It's not my dad's birthday. It's not Christmas. It's not any other holiday. It's Father's Day because that day, you know, you are drastically different from a lot of other people who are celebrating that holiday. And for me, that day is the day that, you know, maybe I might want to be left alone a little bit more, or maybe, you know, I don't want to talk to people as much. But what I've tried to do that day, since it's such an emotional day for me, is that my family and I, we run our annual 5K Father's Day run in my hometown as an honor to my dad. My dad wasn't necessarily a runner, but it's a good, positive thing to do to deal with the whole ramifications of the day, because all the emotions come flooding back on that day. And for me, that's the toughest day to get over, knowing that you don't have a dad.
You know, that's interesting, preparing for a marathon, because a lot of people, for them, anticipating the day is worse than the day. Where you're planning to run, you can kind of work on it and deal with those emotions early on in a positive way.
Absolutely. I mean, the way I've always tried to handle anything in life is to identify the problem and come up with a positive and constructive solution. That's exactly what I Miss My Dad was based on, all the positive and constructive ways that my dad influenced me and helped shape me into the man that I am today.
And I know you talk about some things that I think Heidi and I both resonate with my husband, with our son who died, is the Pinewood Derby.
Oh, God, I love that race. I love that race to this day. I mean, I don't have any kids, but if I could help some Cub Scout build a car, I just want to go to the race. That's how much fun I had during that race. It was just great. My dad and I, he was such Mr. Fix-It. He was an engineer. He could do anything, fix anything, and I was born with 10 thumbs. I mean, I'm exactly the opposite. So when we constructed that car, you know, all I wanted to do as a little kid was win. I didn't care what the car looked like. I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted to win. And
probably so did your dad, and you were there with him
It was just a great, great experience. I loved it. One of the fond memories my dad and I have between each other.
Yeah, when we come back from break, I want to talk a little bit about the bake-off, though.
Oh, sure, me too.
Okay, I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We're talking about Father's Day Without Father with Eric Tomei. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation. These shows are brought to you by the Foundation and by listeners like you. Please stay tuned.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at compassionatefriends.org.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Hello, my name is Neil Chethick. I'm the executive editor for the Open to Hope Foundation and author of the book Father Loss, How Sons Deal with the Death of Their Dad. As editor of the foundation, it's my job to find writers for our website, writers who would like to contribute their articles, poetry, and personal stories about grief, loss, hope, and recovery. If you'd like to write for our website, please contact me. You can do that by visiting opentohope.com and click on the category Write for Us. Then you can start bringing your words, your stories, to our fast-growing audience around the world.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. We are talking today with Eric Tomei, author of I Miss My Dad, about Father's Day Without Father. Welcome back to the show, Eric and Gloria.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Hyde. Well, before we get into the bake-off, the famous bake-off that I want to talk about a little bit with Eric and things about Dad, I wanted to mention Eric's sites. His book first, I Miss My Dad. Great book. How can people get it, Eric? It's got wonderful little anecdotes and very amusing and sweet about Eric's dad.
People can order the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and my website, which is www.lostdadsclub.com. That's lostdadsclub.com. And everybody should remember that 25% of each book sold is being donated to Habitat for Humanity to help reach my goal of raising $1 million for Habitat for Humanity, which is my dad's favorite charity.
Now, how much have you raised so far?
I've raised $1,500 since April of 2008, and I've recently launched a campaign that's going to be completed on my website at the end of next week, which is called the Donate a Dollar Program, where I'm just asking everybody who visits the website to simply donate $1 to the cause. I figure in rough economic times all over the country, this is a great grassroots way to try to raise money for a very worthwhile charity.
Great. And so you do it also when you do the run. Is that where the money goes from the run?
Yeah, the money that goes for the run actually supports the local YMCA Foundation.
How great. What wonderful things for healing. What does it do for you to do these kinds of things for your dad?
My dad has always ingrained in me the importance of community service. He always has taught me and my sisters that that is a way to achieve true happiness. Do selflessly for others. And when I do charity work, especially for Habitat for Humanity, I'm just living the legacy that he's provided for us. So it really is a positive and rewarding experience that can't honestly be put into words many times.
And it put you in touch with him. Now, give us his name. What was his first name?
My dad's first name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My dad's first name was Vic. And actually, that's the first time that I've actually said it to anybody.
It was
or
Vic.
Or anybody's asked. So
Vic, right?
Yep.
Great. Well, it's important, those names.
Mm-hmm.
That we want to remember and put out there in the universe. So tell us about the bake-off. I love that in the book.
Oh, the famous bake-off. My dad, oh, my goodness. He, we had a father-son bake-off for the Cub Scouts, and again, not one of my favorite things as a little kid. I mean, I like to eat cake, don't get me wrong, but, you know, baking a cake wasn't on the top of my list of things to do. The theme was game shows. My dad suggested that I always played chutes and ladders when I was a kid, so he wanted to make a chutes and ladders cake. I said, well, I think it's going to be kind of a difficult project, but I'll tell you, my dad put on the Betty Crocker mitts, and he went at that cake, and we actually won a prize for the best design of a cake. The chutes and we mimicked the chutes and ladders game board. It was unbelievable.
Great. So those great stories. Well, tell us what you miss most about your dad, one quickie.
Yeah, I miss most about my dad just asking him a question, just him mm-hmm. being there if I need him. How do you fix a doorknob? What do you do around the house? What does the lawn look like? just random stuff that I used to ask him that I just don't have the answers to anymore.
Just the little day-to-day things that we share with our parents, it sounds
absolutely.
Like.
It's not anything specific, but everything in general.
Yeah. Yeah. And what would you suggest to our folks out there who have recently lost their dads in a sudden death? It's been now 3 years for you. Talk about the journey, from beginning to where you are now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that first year was honestly a blur. What people are going to have to do is just give yourself time. Let yourself feel the emotions you're feeling. If you feel mad or angry, feel mad or angry. If you feel happy that day, don't feel guilty for feeling happy and joyful when a dad or a loved one has passed. It took me a long time and my family a long time, I think, to get that important idea and apply it to our lives. You just have to, you are on your own timetable, nobody else's. You have to do what works for you. Find support where you can get it because you're going to need the network, whether that's family, friends, clergy, etc. It's been a long, long journey. The journey really never ends, but really time does make a difference. You have to be patient with yourself and be understanding with yourself.
Now, do you think it's hard for guys to reach out?
I think some, yes, and that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book, too. I wanted everyone to be able to relate to my dad and I, whether you've lost a dad or not. So it could be another loved one, like a child, an uncle, a mom, whoever. I want people to put themselves in my shoes and relate it to their experiences losing that all-important loved one in their lives.
And Eric, there's other ways that people can find support and even connect with you. I mean, I know you do a blog for our foundation. You have your own blog, and you have a Facebook page. And
absolutely,
can you tell us,
Heidi,
about those ways that people can connect to you out there that are grieving?
Absolutely. I'm fortunate enough to be one of the editors of the Open to Hope Parent Loss blogs. It's a great blog. I think I started writing for it last November, and it's really helped me channel my feelings, even 3 years after. Even after writing a book about my dad, there's still some things that, you know, sometimes you kind of want to get out. And that blog certainly has been a blessing for me. I also have a Facebook page, an I Miss My Dad fan page, where you can share stories, comments, and just little snippets of everyday life that hopefully people can relate to. We started the page about a month ago, and we're almost up to 1,400 fans. Fans get updates twice a week onto the content, and they're encouraged to share stories, comments, and any relative things that they feel is appropriate about their dad or loved one.
That's great. Well, now tell us about writing the book. How did you decide to do it? How have people in your family, how have they responded to it, and how would, you know, somebody go about doing this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Initially, when I started writing the book, I wrote at 2 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep. I went through a lot of sleepless nights, so that's when I focused on all the positive and constructive ways. I took a notepad and a pen, and that's how it started. Because I wrote so many good things about him that I remembered, I thought, well, you know what? We're going to make a book, and other people can benefit from this. And that's really what I want. I wanted other people to benefit from all the shared experiences and stories that my dad and I went through so that they can apply it to their lives in their times of need. But I'll tell you, writing a book itself was a little challenging. I mean, the writing part wasn't, the everything else is.
Getting it published, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I went through a self-publisher. That's how I decided to do it, and that's good. But I will suggest to anybody who wants to write a book that if you're going to write a book, just be prepared to have a marketing plan in place because the writing of the book is easy. The getting it out, the word out to the public, is a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. Well, the Internet makes it a little easier, but, it can be a challenge. Well, I like the idea where you're telling our audience out there, if you've lost a dad, I mean, you know, I'm thinking that just writing your thoughts about Father's Day as it comes on can be very, very healing or, you know, as you said, getting that information out.
Absolutely.
So your little anecdotes, and also how about the, you know, sitting around the table on Sunday at Father's Day if you get together and having people talk about your dad if you've lost a father and putting down those stories.
Mm. I think it's a great idea. I think whatever you do to honor your dad on Father's Day is especially important, not only to personally healing and moving on and moving forward, but to remember the great guy that your dad or loved one was.
And your dad did genealogy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He had a lot of stories, right?
Right, right.
He was interested in the family history.
He was.
Well, let me ask a question. What if you didn't get along with your dad?
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll admit it to all your readers, we did not have the perfect relationship. I mean, there were times where our relationship was rocky. So this wasn't, you know, a buddy-buddy, you know, best friend type of relationship. But I respect the heck out of my dad, and I know that he always wanted to teach me and my sisters to be the best possible individuals that we could be. So if you don't get along with your dad, that's okay. You can draw the positives from that by saying, well, if I have kids someday, this is how I'm going to treat my kids because my dad didn't do this for me. You always have to try to spin it, to try to be positive as much as you can to help move on from the situation.
Right, and it's interesting because sometimes when you have your own kids, you start saying, oh, now I understand why my parents did that.
Exactly.
Because now I have my own kids and I'm doing it. You appreciate them that much more. So that's
absolutely
a good point. And you know, I love how you've continued bonds with your dad, even though he's not here. You've done so many wonderful things in his memory.
Thank you.
And as a tribute to him.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to see what you can do. And I like your idea about pulling things out. Even if you did have a horrendous relationship with your parent or you didn't see them or whatever, you can still talk about what you would like to see, what you would have liked to have seen. And I think the more you write, the more you understand and the more you live. But the more you write, if you've lost a parent that maybe your parents were divorced and you didn't see them that much, when you write about your feelings about not seeing them or whatever, you sometimes find those little nuggets in there of maybe the reason they were the way they were, or maybe find even a few of the good things that they did.
Absolutely. I think it all boils down to perspective. You know, when you're going through a situation, sometimes you don't understand why you're going through it, or you don't understand what the problem or the solution is. But only through time, you gain perspective on things, and you truly do realize, like Heidi was saying, how you can appreciate your parents for the people that they were.
Well, also, I think sometimes love is quiet, so we don't remember it as much, and conflict is loud. So we tend to remember the conflicts oftentimes more than the love.
Absolutely.
That's a good point.
And it is.
And, you know, maybe one of the things that writing does is it can pull out even memories. It's amazing sometimes what you'll come up with that you didn't remember when you start writing and doing those kind of things and retelling your story. And I think particularly, Eric, where your family had that horrendous experience and that sudden death, I think writing about that can also be really helpful.
It was. It was definitely a healing tool for me. I would never deny that. It definitely helped in my situation.
Mm-hmm. And you proved that anyone can write a book, right? Because
well, you know, the funny thing is that I had people tell me, teachers and fellow students tell me all my life as I was going through high school and college, that my writing stunk, that I'm not a good writer and I'm not a good writer. I'm like, well, I guess it just goes to show that you don't have to be a good writer to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's like people who say you can't sing.
That's right.
I mean, everyone can sing.
Absolutely, whether it's in the shower or on stage.
Yeah, and everybody has wonderful ideas. Somebody else can help you edit it if you need
right.
that, if people need that kind of help.
I'm a true believer in that everybody has a voice. It just is a
mm-hmm.
matter of how it's expressed.
That's a great way to end the show today, and that everyone has a voice. And we want to thank, and can use that, we want to thank Eric Tomei for being on our show today and talking about his dad. And I highly recommend getting his book, I Miss My Dad. It's got a lot of great little stories and anecdotes in it. Please stay tuned for more. Today we're going to speak to John Azaraz and about his Coach One. And you can reach us through thegriefblog.com as well as the Confessions of Friends website. These shows are archived on those.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, my name is Beverly McManus. In 2003, my husband Steve died of cancer. It's been a tough journey, but it's been softened by being part of the Open to Hope Foundation caring community. This year, Abel Keogh, whose wife died by suicide, and I have launched the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com website. We're working hard to have timely articles and create a dialogue of support. The important thing to know is that you are not alone. We'd like to share your grief journey with you and others who have lost their partners and invite you to help us get the word out about the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com site. You can also reach us by going to opentohope.com and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where all of the Foundation blog links can be viewed. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Naomi Edelson. Has someone close to you died? If so, I invite you to participate in an important new research study. I am a doctoral student at the Wright Institute conducting research on social relationships and how they might have affected your feelings about the loss. Participants who fill out the confidential 15-minute survey online will be entered into a raffle to win a $100 gift certificate to Amazon.com. If you are over 18 and want to participate, please go to www.opentohope.com and click on Foundation News. There on the research site, you will find the URL for my study. You can also contact me by phone at 415-290-0164 or by email at lossresearch@gmail.com to have questionnaires sent to you. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Hello, I'm Eric Kiffel, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichippel.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. You're here with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi, and our second topic today is finding success in your life. And our guest is John Assaroff. John Assaroff calls himself the consummate entrepreneur. Through hard work and vision, John has helped thousands of people achieve success in business and life. He is CEO of One Coach and the author of The Answer and Having It All. Welcome to the show, John, and welcome back, Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, John, we are so excited about having you on the show today. I mean, we are just, Heidi and I are very thrilled and honored that you would come on the show, and I know you're gonna, it's going to be great for our audience. And I wanted to, it's Father's Day coming up, and we were interested in having you on the show today because we feel that there's a lot of men out there and women but who are caught in their grief. We know that you are on the Jenna Druck Foundation. I met you at when Ken directed an event in San Diego. And just the message that you have of people moving on and helping them, I think it's going to be very exciting to have you on today, and we appreciate you being on.
Well, thanks. It's really an honor and a joy to be on, so thanks for the opportunity.
Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. Well, first of all, I just wanted to start out with our audience because you are such a big presence. I mean, you've been on, you know, Larry King, Ellen DeGeneres, Anderson Cooper. You have just a huge amount of wonderful information on the Internet. And I wanted to just kind of start out, since we don't have a lot of time here, about that your life hasn't always been this great and glorious and easy life, right?
No, when I was in my mid to late teens, I got into a lot of trouble. A lot of people say that I was on the wrong train, on the wrong track, picking up speed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know whether I'd end up in jail or dead. And I was really fortunate that I had some wonderful mentors in my life that showed me that there was a different way and a better way, and that I was a lot more intelligent than I was giving myself credit for. And then if I was prepared to at least be open-minded, I could change my life and turn it around. And fortunately, I guess I was in enough pain that I was willing to listen.
And you also said mentioned, I know, in some of your material that you'd been in an automobile accident. Talk a little bit about that.
When I was 17 years old, about 6 months prior to taking on a scholarship for basketball at Oregon State University, I was in a very bad car accident, ended up in the hospital with broken ribs, collarbone, fifth metatarsal, which is a bone in the foot, and end up with back surgery, getting a disc fused. And my wonderful young mind, who thought I might have a hope and a prayer of being a professional basketball player, that was shattered. And I almost lost my life that day.
And when you're in bed like that, because I've been an ICU nurse before, you really do have a chance to think, which most 17-year-olds don't.
You have so much to think. You have so much to think, and then you also are looking to hide a lot. And I was hiding a lot with television and complaining of the pain. So I was, getting more morphine than I probably should have at the time. I was in a state of denial and a state of despair.
And then you went on, and at 22, you had ulcerative colitis.
I did. I wanted to make money so badly. My family really never had a lot of money. There was always fights around our house around the lack of money. And I wanted to make money so badly that I worked myself, 15, 16, 18, 20 hours a day, didn't eat well, drank too much alcohol, and I really wasn't taking care of myself. And I ended up with severe ulcerative colitis, where I was taking 25 pills a day. I was doing things that the doctor suggested that nobody should have to do on a daily basis, and then doing sigmoidoscopies every single month to see what was happening with my intestines, which was not fun because back then they didn't put you to sleep to do that. And I realized that, these were all symptoms of something greater. And when I understood that we really do have a lot more control of our minds, we really do have a lot more control of the vibration that our body is in, and we're either going to be in a state of at ease and healthy or dis-ease and unhealthy, really realize that we have a lot more control than we think we do.
So, all right, so now we've gotten our audience to the point where they realize that John's life has not been what it is today, but your life today is incredibly glorious.
I'm really blessed. I've put a lot of effort into really thinking about my life. I've put a lot of effort into designing, the type of relationships I want and health I want and finances I want, and really took the time to make a decision what I was committed to in my life. And what I found with people who are successful in any area of life, they usually will make a commitment. And a commitment means you're going to do whatever it takes versus being interested, which means you're going to do what's convenient. And the beautiful thing about today's world is we can go online, and I heard you talking to Eric earlier, we can go online and in moments find the answers to any question we want, just about any bit of information about any type of illness, pain, grieving, success, anything's available to us. And it's ours to take and then take action. Mm-hmm. And people only take action when they're either in a lot of pain or they're in a state of absolute commitment to an end result.
Okay,
it's not when they're interested.
Now, I think some of our audience right now are in so much shock or whatever that they're probably not going, they're going to listen, but they can hardly, well, Heidi, you've got an email on that. Why don't you read, John, the email that we got?
Okay. Our email is from Bob from Oregon, and he says, I watched you on the Larry King Show, and while I admire your motivational ideas, my son died less than a year ago, and I'm having a very difficult time even getting out of bed. I would appreciate any advice you might have.
Yeah, that is, I have two sons, and so if I ever want to put myself in a state of anxiety and shock, all I have to think about is something happening to them, and I can get there from a visceral perspective, but nowhere near what somebody who's experienced that pain is going through. The question that I ask is, how do you celebrate your son's life? How do you have a relationship still with your child that may not be, that is not in physical form? And is there a higher order of thinking to look at? Is there a higher order to go to? And one of the things that, I've been researching for many, many, many years is, you know, what is life? And is there life after death? Deepak Chopra wrote an outstanding book called Life After Death. And when we think about, you know, if we are made up of the energy, the intelligence that created everything, then the physical part of our being is only one essence, one part of who we really are. And is it possible that our spirit, our essence goes on? And how do you celebrate, you know, your son's or daughter's life, your spouse, significant other, friend? How do you celebrate their life from a space of joy? And what we're missing, obviously, is their physicalness, their presence, the essence of who they are, is still there, though. And so the question that I have, and by no means am I suggesting that this is easy, but one of the things that I did learn is that when we change the way we look at something, the thing that we look at changes. And our brain's only able to focus on one thought at a time. So if we're thinking about the lack, the limitation, the anger, the whatever it is that we're feeling, is there a way to rise above that and say, okay, great, now what can I celebrate? What can I love? What can I smile about? What can I be grateful for? And get out of bed and take that step and maybe use your life as you two are, okay, to help others. Like Ken Druck from the Jenna Druck Foundation is helping others because of the loss of his daughter in a train crash or a bus crash, excuse me, in India. And so is there a way to use that energy, use that anger, that resentment, that whatever you're feeling, and say, how can I use this to benefit others? Is there a way to make any meaning of this? And if you can do that, then what you'll find is your life starts to have purpose and meaning again. And in that purpose and meaning, maybe you find some acceptance and some love. And the one thing that I know Ken has taught me is, John, you just have to go through the grieving that has to happen, and you can't hide from it. He says it feels like somebody has just peeled the skin right off of your body, and just is going to take some time for that skin to heal. And he says that even in that healing, you could find a way to have some meaning and love and proper expression of that.
And when you're ready to move out of that, Heidi, were you going to say something?
Well, I'm just going to say that, so it sounds like it's twofold. You're not only embracing the person that died, like I would embrace all the positive memories of my brother that I had while he was still here, and those would give me joy, and I would also embrace all the reasons I have to go on and all the gratitude I have every day for those things that are ahead of me on this earth.
Absolutely. And, you know, and again, it's really a function of teaching yourself, and you can do that either teaching yourself or you obviously join, you know, some groups that have already done it, and you learn from people who are one or two steps ahead of you or even side by side with you, so that you can stand shoulder to shoulder or be pulled when you need to be or push somebody when you need to, give them a little nudge as well. And you know, again, what I don't want to do is discount the atrocities that are happening out there and the pain that's happening out there. And that's, you know, whether somebody happens to die unexpectedly or expectedly. You know, we do grieve the loss of human life. And that's something that we have to understand. And it's, you know, life is part of death. It's the strangest thing, but the only guarantee we had, probably other than taxes, was that we're going to die.
Right.
There's a shock factor that happens when somebody dies unexpectedly that we're just not used to. And there's a lot of neurological things that happen that, you know, we just can't get away from. It's just, you know, some of the brain neurophysiology that occurs, the anxiety, the loss, the separation, all of that stuff is happening. And we have to go through those emotions. I think part of the challenge is most of us have never been taught or even have spoken about how to deal with that. And I can share with you, when we've had some family members die or friends pass away, you know, I have discussions with my children, you know, just so they're prepared for when I die, for when their mom dies, for maybe one of them dies, not to minimize it, but to have a different understanding of what is life, where did it come from, where do you go when you die? You
and,
know,
having a discussion is important. Well, it's time for us to go to break now, and we'll hear more. When we come back, talking on this topic of finding success in your life, I really want to talk about when you're ready. John has fabulous information on the internet for moving on with his one coach idea. It's a great idea. So please stay tuned for more. You can reach us through thegreedblog.com as well as the Open to Hope Foundation.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
A new child bereavement study is being conducted by a doctoral student at Seattle Pacific University. This study investigates the positive and negative personal and relationship outcomes of parents who have lost a child. These questions are based on you, your present relationship with your partner, your social support following your loss, and your personal experiences following your loss. If you have lost a child, you are invited to participate in this 20-minute survey. Participation is confidential, and you may change your mind at any time. If you think you would like to participate, please go to www.lossresearch.webs.com. Or, if you have any questions or would prefer the questionnaires be sent to you, please contact Hillary Van Horn by phone at 1-530-902-4562 or by email at hvanhorn@coh.org. Thank you for your time and consideration.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, we're talking today with John Assaroff, author of The Answer and Having It All, about finding success in your life. Welcome back to the show, John and Gloria.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, John. It's great to be back on the show. Heidi, would you talk, when we're coming back, I just wanted to have you mention the vision boards. Tell our audience what they are and then...
Sure, and I want to say something before I bring up the vision boards, which John has, and he can talk more about that, and that is I find it very comforting to feel that even for those of you out there that are in a lot of pain and suffering, I would have found it very comforting to know, and I did find it comforting to know in those early days that this is not going to be my life forever. Eventually, there are going to be shifts, and that's why it's so important to have John on so he can show us how, when we're ready, we can make those shifts. And one of the ways that he does it, which I love, is he talks a lot about creating a vision board, which will, in a sense, reprogram our brains. And, John, can you tell us about your vision boards?
Yeah, back in 1995, a long time ago, I started to create a goal board or a vision board for each area of my life. And as we're actually sitting here talking right now, I'm actually looking at my vision board. There's six different boards. And one of the things that we know about how the brain works is whatever we focus on, we really express more of in our life. And so number one, you want to have clarity about exactly what it is that you want. So if you're grieving right now, number one, I want you to go through the grieving process, of course, and then maybe you can start a vision board of what your life can be like, whether it's 30 days, 60 days, 9 days, 120 days, a year, whatever the time frame is, and just get a very clear visual picture of what it is that you want to look like, your life to look like in the different areas of your life. I can tell you there's a couple things that happen that we know from the research and science that's been done, is, number one, the universe responds to what our intentions are and what we give attention to. That's number one. Number two, when we're focusing our brain on what it is that we want, we spend a little bit less time with what we call is the ANTS, the A-N-T-S, the automatic negative thoughts. And so you can train yourself with just, you know, 2-3 minutes a day of getting your vision of what you'd like your life to be like with the lost in your life, all right, and focus on that for 2 or 3 minutes a day and create more of the automatic positive thoughts. And in doing that, you train yourself a little bit to really, you know, get through the challenging times that you're going through right now. And so it's really critical. You know, these vision boards do work. It works basically on clarity, and as I mentioned, some science behind it of how the brain gets rewired and the vibration that the body is in. And you could start to attract more of what you want and less of what you don't want into your life.
Now, what do you put on them? You put drawings, pictures?
Yeah, if it's something that you want for success in your business or monetary, then you put the exact amount of what it is that you want to earn, what it is that you're going to contribute, how much charitable work are you going to do. If it's a physical body, you know, a different physical body that you have right now, if you're in a state of dis-ease, you want to get yourself into a state of at-ease, what does that look like? You know, what does that feel like?
Do you cut pictures out of magazines? Or?
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture right now of a physique that I'm working towards. I'm actually in my shorts and running shoes and T-shirt. I just got back from the gym before the interview. And so I have a picture of the physique that I'm moving towards. I've hired a personal trainer, so I'm also in action. You know, there's the image and vision of what you want to achieve, but there's also the what are you going to do about it? Like, what steps are you going to take to move you towards that as well?
I love that
idea. Well, I know you call it, you go beyond motivation to motive action.
That's right. And you know, I was in the movie The Secret, which talked about the law of attraction, and the last six letters of attraction are action.
Ah, yeah. Well, talk a little bit, because we only have a few minutes left, about One Coach, because I think it is so great. You can go on the Internet, and you can actually sign up to work with you, right? Be coached by you.
Yeah, I started a coaching company for small business owners who really wanted to get from a startup to, let's say, 100,000, from 100 to 500, from 500 to a million, and then some. And we help business owners really grow their businesses. And if people go to One Coach, which is onecoach.com, we have 7 free videos that they could sign up for, and it'll really help them get a start with the kind of work that we do. And if they feel like they resonate with what we're teaching business owners, we've had over 5,000 businesses in the last 3 years from around the world go through our programs with incredible success. And if they go to onecoach.com, they get some free videos and see if what we've got is good for them.
And then you said there's some place you can go for vision boards?
Yeah, if they go to johnassaraf.com, which is johnassaraf, johnassaraf.com. There's information on my vision board there.
Yes, and you also have examples of vision boards. I even saw Obama's, you know, vision board. So you have boards so people can look at what other people have done and get examples.
Yeah, there's, again, the vision board is one more tool in getting our brain to line up with exactly what it is that we want and a clear instruction to the universe of what we'd like the universe to bring forth to us, to attract to us.
And I love your premise, and you've said this on the show today, that every single one of you, and I'm taking this off your website, every single one of you can make a decision today and change your life by taking action and creating a vision for your life.
You have to start off with a vision. And even in the great book, the Bible, it says, you know, without a vision, the people will perish. And the research is really where my head's been at, and to really understand of how true that is and what's happening, you know, in people's heads. And the more we focus on what we want, the more we'll be in that vibration, the more we're apt to take action towards what we want. And the more we focus on what we don't want, unfortunately, the more we attract it and the more we behave in ways and see things in our physical world that match up with what we don't want.
You know, I think I was very intrigued with your brain chemistry ideas and comments on that, because I think so much of loss I always have is very related to brain chemistry. Because I think that the moment someone says they're dead, I think there is a whole brain, a whole flood going on.
Oh, I agree with that. There's so much great research happening right now. We've learned more about the human brain in the last 7-8 years than we've known in the history of our species. And we're really understanding so much about how we think. We're understanding our perceptions. We're understanding our behaviors. Why don't we do the things we know we should do? So for the people that are grieving right now and they're in bed and they're either medicated or not, you know, why is it so hard to get up and get in action? You know, one of the things that we can learn from is going back in time to Newton. He says an object in motion tends to stay in motion. And so if, you know, if you're hurting right now, if you're really in a terrible spot, force yourself to get up. Go for a one-minute walk today, even around your home, around your apartment, in your garden, 1 minute. If you can't do a minute, do 30 seconds, and then do it again later on today and then tomorrow. And just inch by inch, it becomes a cinch. And so force yourself, no matter what, to get out of the state that you're in that's hurting and depressed and filled with sorrow, and just move a little bit, if you can, into a state of a little bit of kindness and a lighter heart for yourself.
Now, talk about, you're on the board of the Jenna Druck Foundation, and I know, as you said, Ken's daughter Jenna died. What have you come up with from being around Ken as far as grief and loss goes? Have you got any thoughts for how he's moved through that? He's done amazing things.
Yeah, he's done amazing things. You know, what I've learned from him more than anything else is compassion. And, you know, when somebody is going through or has gone through the loss of a loved one, you don't try to fix it. There's nothing to fix. And, you know, my background has always been, okay, what's the problem? There's a solution. Well, in this particular case, the solution is love. The solution is compassion and understanding. And what I've noticed about him more than anything else is he has become fueled. His passion is to honor the memory of his daughter so much so that every day he does things to honor, you know, her memory, so that she lives on. And that is what fuels him. So he's taken, you know, a tragedy of biblical proportions, and he's used it to help others. And in helping others, he feels better.
Right. And I would say with you also, John, the way you've reached out to help others, and you're so generative, and you don't need to do this. I mean, you can go sit on an island somewhere, right?
Yeah, you know what? Then I've done that, and it's boring.
Well, you know what I love about you? As your book says, you want the world, and you want everyone in it to have it all.
I do. I want everybody to have it all, and I want to let people know that it is a choice, and in every moment we're making a choice. And the question is, you know, are you happy with what you're trading your life for? See, every moment we're trading our life for what we do, and too many people are asking themselves if their goal, okay, if they're worthy of their goal. And I want people to ask themselves a different question. Is that goal worthy of my life?
Thank you, John. It's time for us to close our show. That's fantastic.
Wonderful.
We want to thank John Asaroff and Eric Tomei for being on our show today. It's time to close it. You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Remember, you need not walk alone.
Eric and John, thank you for motivating people all over the world to find hope again.
Thanks so much, ladies.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.